Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis at chapter 9. Of Genesis at chapter 9, and we might conclude our study of the life of Noah by considering verses 25 to 27. Perhaps should read from verse 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Especially verses 25 to 27. He said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." What strange words we have here. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. Strange words for any father or grandfather to say concerning any of his family. How would you feel if your father or grandfather had uttered words like these? Especially for a godly person. It seems so strange. Why is this said? And why is it here in the Bible? Well, surely one thing we can see is this. These not uttered in malice or vengeance. Noah was aware of what he himself had done. He had foolishly fallen into sin and brought shame upon himself. As a penitent sinner, he utters these words. Yes, he knows that Ham, the father of Canaan, gazed on him in his shameful state and gossiped about what had happened. But even that, doesn't the Bible teach love your enemies? Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. There's no malice here. Whatever's happening, that's not what's going on. Rather, we find Noah here full of the Holy Spirit. If he had been full of wine, that had led him astray. But now he is full of the Holy Spirit. And he utters a prophecy regarding the future of his family, which you remember at this time as the future of the race, because everyone in the world today is descended from Noah and his three sons. Now, what do you find as you read chapter 10 and later on in the scripture is that these words were remarkably fulfilled. No doubt one reason why Moses included this in the history of the beginnings, which make up the book of Genesis, was to show where the Jews and the surrounding nations came from, because out of the Jews, the Christ, the Savior, was to come. Much of biblical history has to do with the Jews and the nations around them. Is that all there is? A bit of a history lesson? Ah, friends, isn't there more than that? There's a lasting lesson for you tonight. And it's simply this. We see the folly of rebellion against God, and that the only blessing that is worthwhile is where there is service to God. And that, at the end of the day, is what we find here. There's a warning. Do not rebel. It will affect you and your family. And on the other hand, there is an encouragement and a promise. Serve God. Cling to the Saviour. That's the way to lasting blessing. Let's then notice two things in our text. First of all, the folly of rebellion against God. And secondly, the blessedness of serving God. The folly of rebellion. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Well, we know that there's evidence of rebellion against God in the passage. Because there is Ham, the second son of Noah. And you see him flagrantly breaching the fifth commandment. He comes across his father in a drunken state, and rather than seeking to show respect without covering over and pretending there's no sin, without showing respect, he gazes in what's happening, he gossips about it, because he is someone who hates all that Noah stands for as a preacher of righteousness, who warns of judgment, and who calls sinners, and who calls Ham to remember the gospel, to cling to Christ, and not to rebel against sin. Rebel against God in sin. So there is evidence of rebellion, of hatred of God. Here's someone quite happy that he can justify himself in his sin. There's that preacher. There's that so-called godly man. And look at the state he's in. Ah, well, I'm not so bad after all. Isn't that the way many people are? Friend, is that the way you are here tonight? You're glad for any excuse not to take God's law seriously, sin seriously, judgment seriously. And really the commandments of God, whether it is in honouring your father and mother or the other commandments, you're quite happy to tread over them as much as you can. Well, we can see here the disastrous consequences of that sort of life. It is foolish to rebel against God. Notice, first of all, it has a bad effect on succeeding generations. There's one reason why. It has a bad effect on children and on children's children. You see, Noah here says, cursed be Canaan. Why does he mention Canaan? We know that Ham was the father of Canaan. And we're told that it was Ham who saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren about what was going on. It may be that Canaan was some way involved. That might be what is hinted at in verse 24. Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And the reference here may be to Canaan, the youngest son of Ham. It may be that he shared in that sin. But we can't be definite. Scripture isn't 100% clear. And if that's not the case, why is the curse placed on Canaan? After all, doesn't the Word of God say that people will be dealt with for their own sins? Deuteronomy 24 and verse 16. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. But the same in Jeremiah 31 and verse 29. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set in edge. We have given the effects of it. Everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set in age. It's your sin that you will be called to account for. It is your rebellion against God that you will be punished for, not for what others have done. Why then does Noah see this? Especially if we can't be certain Canaan even was directly involved. Well, surely it's simply this. Noah is aware of what's happened. He knows what Ham has done. He can see the spirit of rebellion at work in Ham. It may be that there is a measure of lip service. He attends the worship as Noah offers up sacrifice. And he can speak of God in different ways, but secretly deep down there is a rebellion against God and his gospel and the demands of his law, and he would rather be doing his own thing. There is a hatred of God's holy commandments and of the demands of the gospel, to flee from sin, to repent from sin, and to cling to the God-appointed Savior who was promised. Someone who shows disrespect and disloyalty to his father, someone who glories in sin, a worldly person with no love for God, no love for his law. Oh, friend, you get these within the church. Is that you tonight? And you're here and you're engaged in the public worship of God, and that is right. And it is wickedness not to do so when you're able to do it. But is there a secret heart of rebellion against God in your soul? That's dangerous. Because it has consequences for others. And you see, here is Canaan, the youngest son of Ham. And Noah can see that he is like his father. That he will learn from his father, and has learned from his father, and has imbibed that spirit of sneering at sin, sneering at God's law, that worldly spirit. Friends, isn't it true that our parents greatly influence us? And they can influence for good or bad. Who we mix with affects us. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We all know that. Every parent knows that. That's why they're concerned about who their children mix with. Don't you play with that person. They use bad language. They're always fighting and causing problems. We understand why parents do these things. And yet they can forget that ourselves. And forget that the way we are, for good or ill, affects our family. And you see, here is Canaan. And this negative effect, this negative influence that Ham is, will rub off on his child. And the thing is, it's not just the case of being like the Father. The tendency will be to become worse than his Father. Isn't there that tendency in sin to drag us down? One person takes one step in sin, another takes two or three, and then becomes emboldened and goes on in sin. One generation pay lip service to God and his commandments. The next generation wonder what's the point. Perhaps they can see through a measure of hypocrisy. They've not been taught the way the earlier generation was. And they're ignorant. And they go their own way. And rebellion increases. They carry sin further. And especially when judgment does not stop the sinner in his way and cause him to stop and realize the folly of his rebellion, he's prone to go on. The notorious criminal probably started out as someone who indulged in petty acts of crime. That's the way it is. Sin gets emboldened. And down through the generations, it gets emboldened. Evil men and seducers shall wax, they shall grow worse and worse. And God will in his judgment give people over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are inconvenient. The sins of the fathers are visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. In other words, there they are. They're worshipping God. Well, let's invent some special way to adorn and help our worship of the one holy God. And that's what happens. And then more things are added. Then you end up with the worship of God, bereft of holiness. And then you end up with the worship of a few gods. And all the sin that was associated with paganism. It leads to increasing corruption. You think of how the Sabbath day is slowly going in their own island. There are people who are brought up, they're old now. You know, they were brought up to respect the Sabbath, and they did. And perhaps they still went to church, but they weren't so careful in teaching their children. And their children went to church occasionally. And then you got another generation. And there's ignorance. And another generation. And there's open rebellion breaking out. That's what happens. See, with all this nonsense, this immorality over same-sex marriage, the change it can come in so suddenly. People go more and more on in sin. It is foolish to rebel against God. And if you are under the gospel and yet rebelling against God, do you realize the damage, the destructive damage you're liable to do to your families? Why don't they take the gospel seriously? Oh, do you? And if you don't expect them to. Because they'll follow after you, and they'll go further in sin than you will do. And the problem is, you're rebelling against the truth and not submitting to Christ. Realize that what you are doing has consequences that can last for generations. And repent of your sin and rebellion. If you love your family, you will. And you'll be careful to serve God. What a fearful legacy Ham left. Cursed be Canaan. The Canaanites became notorious for their sin. But notice, rebellion is foolish, not only because it has a bad effect on succeeding generations, but because it brings God's curse upon the rebel himself. And if you go on in sin, if you go on in rebellion, even a rebellion where God has given his place in some form in your life, but not the place demanded for the gospel with a sincere bowing of the knee before Christ, then you are bringing God's curse upon your head. Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. Friend, will it not be a just curse he will bring upon you? You're against God. You're against his law. You're quite glad to have an excuse to go on and sin. And only pay lip service. Well, look at Ham. That's what he's like. And he disrupts. He rebels against God's law. He overturns the order that God has set, where his father should be shown respect. He ended up with cruelty and debauchery. That's what the Canaanites were known for. And they were punished. Justly dealt with. Would either of them being dealt with in the days of Joshua as they are evicted from Canaan and put to the sword? And we might be shocked when we see such things, but we remember. Wickedness brings God's curse. And it's not just this curse physically, in this world, all sin is worthy of death. The wages of sin is death. And you're picking upon yourself by rebelling against God the everlasting curse of a lost eternity. Friend, you see the danger you're in. God is against you. He is going to arraign you before the judgment seat, bring your sins out to the open and say, this is where you went wrong. This is where you rebelled. Cursed be those who rebel against me. What a fearful thing. Justly condemned. And you will have to agree on that judgment day. This is true. You can make excuses now. You'll be speechless on that great day. For a shameful curse will fall upon you. You'll notice that Canaan was to be a servant of servants. In other words, he was to be the most low, abject slave that could be, to serve the servants. Oh, Ham was so proud, and he's brought so low in his family. And that was fulfilled. You find, for example, in the book of Joshua, those who weren't destroyed of the Canaanites, the Gibeonites, were made hewers of wood. Those who drew water were serving the Shemites, and especially the children of Heber, the son of Shem. Isn't hell a place of shame? Of the lowest shame. That's your destiny. Utter degradation, put to shame. To be left enslaved in sin when you cannot escape, and yet you cannot satisfy your lusts. Downward forever, with God against you, and exposed to his wrath, in that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. pride will be gone then. Your self-sufficiency will be gone there. Your thoughts, I'll do what I want. I'll just give God a bit of my time and my lip service. You will know what it is to be a sinner. You'll feel the depth of the reality of conviction of sin. And you'll know there is no hope. And you will hate God. And hate his law, but know that there is no escape. Yours will be that place of shame forever. It will bring us into folly, to rebel. It will bring upon you a certain curse. Notice three times it said, a servant of servants shall be to his brethren. Canaan shall be a servant. Canaan shall be a servant. On and on repeated. Oh well, it took a while. It took hundreds of years before anything happened to the Canaanites. But God fulfilled his word. Eventually the Jews went into the promised land. The sword of God's vengeance upon the wicked Canaanites. And yes, there were those in Canaanites from Phoenicia who built that great city of Carthage, which seemed to be a great empire, doing well. But they ended up servants to Rome of the children of Jabesh. The judgment comes, though it's delayed. Oh, you may be saying that. Where's evidence that God's against me? I was going well in my life. Well, you may prosper. But just because you are prospering, as many of the wicked prosper in this life, it doesn't mean a thing. God will condemn you more because in his goodness, you abuse his goodness. And you did not seek him and repent and trust in him with all your heart. You did not honor him and serve him. You served self. And his curse will come upon you. Be sure. Your sin will grind you out. And upon every single sin, he will pour out his wrath and his anger upon you, and you shall not escape. And above all, he shall condemn you if you have sneered at the godly and rejected Christ Jesus, the only Saviour. Noah, preacher of righteousness, how he must have spoken often to his sons that God was going to provide a Saviour. As he offered his sacrifice, he's saying, look, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Rely upon him. Turn from your sin. Seek cleansing through this Saviour. And if you're saying no, friend, you will certainly be cursed. Because you abused the greatest gift of all, and the greatest mercy of all, Jesus Christ. You will know the anger of God, his just condemnation. Sooner or later it will come on you. You'll notice it was a lasting curse. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Well, you find that Canaan especially, and to a certain extent other descendants of Ham, they ended up in servitude. The Canaanite, a servant. To those who were of Shem, to those who were of Japheth, that's historical reality. Many of the Hamites, throughout, they were married to the descendants of Canaan as well, and as they went into Egypt and further south, well, you think of how that great continent of Africa was benighted by slavery. It doesn't justify what happened. It was through wickedness and wicked men that so much went on. It doesn't justify so much of the racism and things like that of which have gone on since then. But no blessing came. There was a lasting curse. Oh, friend, you go on in your rebellion. God's curse will be upon you without intermission. All the goodness you may receive now, you'll be condemned even more for them. And you'll be consigned to that place where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Everlasting burning. The bottomless pit, down and down, morally, physically, spiritually. Degradation, judgment, forever. And ever. No light at the end of the tunnel. No hope. God against you. Because you have rebelled. Oh, here is a warning curse. Listen to the warning. It's recorded here to warn us. To warn succeeding generations, stop and repent. And yes, it's limited to Canaan. Perhaps to say to others, the descendants of Ham as well as others, stop and repent. Don't be like your father. Turn and embrace the Savior. Yes, there were those even of Ham and of Canaan. Did repent. There's a Canaanite who became one of the antecedents of the Lord Jesus. There's a Rahab the harlot amongst the household of faith. And there's a side of Phoenician women. You see, this curse is a warning. Saying what's going to happen if you go on. It's not consigning people irrespective of what they do to judgment, servitude, a lost eternity. It's saying, repent. God is angry with you now if you're in rebellion. But he's saying to you, repent. Because he is merciful and gracious. Listen to God's warning. See the folly of rebellion against God. Now let's go to secondly, more briefly, very briefly in fact, the blessedness of serving God. Stop rebellion, begin serving Him. Are you serving Him? Keep on serving Him. Why? It brings a God-centered blessing. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. You notice it's blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Not blessed be Shem, but thanksgiving to God. Why? Because the Lord God is the Lord God of Shem. God is his God. In other words, Shem knows God. He's in relationship with God. He's in covenant with God. He's embraced God's peace treaty. He's trusting in the Savior. He's clinging to him. What is life eternal but to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent? And here's Shem. God is his God. And through him the church is going to grow. Through him, through the Semitic tribe, you end up with one group of the children of Eva, the Hebrews, Abraham and his family coming. Through him the Christ coming. The Savior. God is mine in Christ. Can you see that? If you trust in Christ, you are blessed with the greatest blessing of all. The God of creation and redemption is yours. God not against you. He is for you. He is with you. And you have all true blessedness, all lasting blessedness, all spiritual blessings in Christ. You have all you need for life and salvation. No wonder he says, blessed be the Lord God of shame. Are you trusting in Christ? Give thanks that God is your God through Christ. Give him the praise and the honor. You see, true blessedness comes from having a life and relationship with God. You were meant to live with God. Adam created to live with God in relationship with him in the Garden of Eden. He sins. That's where his problems begin. Chaos comes into his life, into his family relationships, into the world around him. Because of sin, he has lost fellowship with God. That's what's promised and restored through Christ. Foolish to reject the one blessing that lasts. Oh, if you're a Christian today, if you're a believer today in your Christ, you're blessed. And you've got God as your God and Christ as that friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're part of the family of God. You have the inheritance of heaven to look forward to in the near presence of God. You keep on serving God, looking to the Savior. It brings a God-centered blessing. And yes, it brings a certain blessing. You could say, where is the blessing there for shame? Well, God said he's blessed. He is blessed. He might know blessing materially. He might not. But he's blessed in his soul. He's got God, peace with God, and a promise of glory with God. And as long as they're faithful, they shall be blessed. Here's a certain blessing. The child of God is blessed. The rebel is cursed. Isn't it folly to rebel? It brings a lasting blessing. If God's your God, he'll always be your God. And you may lose other things, but you shall lose other things in this life. But you can never lose God. God's for you, who can be against you? You're secure. You see, salvation offered in Christ is a lasting salvation. A secure salvation is not just a wishful hope. And you'll notice it also brings an encouraging blessing. We read of God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Well, Japheth was going to be enlarged. The Shemites, perhaps they didn't have much ground compared to where the Japhethites would go, but as they spread out and they covered most of what we would think of as Asia and Europe, vast areas, and there's prosperity. And yes, Canaan was his servant. It ended up that Carthage served Rome, for example. But you'll notice what's going to happen. They shall dwell in the tents of Shem. There were many who were going to come into the church. These Japhethites, these non-Jews. The day would come when they dwelt in the Shem's tent, living together in the same house. Why? At peace with one another. They get fellowship together because they're worshipping the same God. They're sharing in the same blessing. Here's his promise. Through Shem, through his family. Blessing is going to come to the whole earth. And all nations shall serve him. May that day come when the nations acknowledge Christ is Lord, when they fly as doves to a window, when they bow the knee before King Jesus and acknowledge that he is Lord. Friend, if you have never done that, stop your rebellion before this King summons you. Summons you not with entreaties of peace, not with loving calls to bow the knee and give God his honour and embrace him as Saviour, but for folly to go on, and he shall come as judge to condemn you. Stop the rebellion. It is foolish to rebel against God. See what happened to Ham and to Canaan. Don't be like him. Rather, serve God. Because that's the way to lasting blessing. No doubt, Noah, after he uttered this, could say, "Thy will be done." All you say is not harsh. It's not harsh. "Thy will be done." Surely his prayer was that even the judgments that came upon Canaan might yet be blessed to him. You go on in rebellion, people will pray for you. Lord, whether it is by kindness or just by judgments, bring them to thyself. Sometimes people need a shame. A good warning before they come to bow the knee. Well, if it takes that, Lord, do it. Because they need Christ. Be thankful for parents and grandparents that will pray that way. And realize that in the day of judgment, all they will see is Amen. And there will be no prayer then. What a fearful thing. To put the Amen to God's judgment. To leave it there. Now be right. Because I love God above all other things. And you're in rebellion. Stop the rebellion. Friend, stop the folly. And deal honestly with God and with your own soul. And turn to Christ while it is the day of salvation. Let us